which were forefront in the Reformation movement. The Reformation sought to reorient Christianity to the original message of Jesus and the early church, just what Bobby's preaching out of Acts. The reformers were guided by the conviction that the Roman Catholic Church had drifted away from the essential teachings of Christianity. Ortland said that the church is in continual reform or movement, and that the Reformation transformed Christianity to bring about the Protestant churches of today. So I went through the solas again. I'm sorry if it's repetitive, but it's worth it. I didn't use the same scriptures, kind of so in Christ alone. Here's how I like the five together. In Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone, according to Scripture alone, and all to the glory of God. Amen. So solus Christus, now we're going to get a little Italian. Solus Christus is in Christ alone. No other gods, no other idols. Never a belief in Jesus plus, like plus a little words, plus a little me, plus a little self. New Age love. That was me. That's my history. He alone is the true mediator between God and ourselves, bringing redemption to a fallen world. Sola fide is in faith, through faith alone. We are justified and saved by faith and not through any works of our own. Sola gratia, by grace alone. We Protestants believe this salvation is a free, unmerited gift from God, and therefore by grace alone we have received and continue to receive our salvation through sanctification by grace. So sola scriptura, this is the one that just kept ringing and ringing into the heart and piercing, more than one piercing, and it has for me for a long time. The scriptures alone are the infallible, God-inspired word by which we receive truth. His unique voice in the scriptures is the only inherent, sufficient, and final authority over and for the church, which is different from Catholicism. People talk about it, the others will talk about that. And then soli Deo Gloria, all for the a couple of scriptures that I'm going to end with, 2 Peter 1, 20-22. Above all, you know this. No prophecy of scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And then 2 Timothy 3:16, which was already read by Keeley, all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness.
Amen. Good job, honey. I will make a correction. I am a Catholic, but I'm just not a Roman Catholic. That's the key right there. Praise God. It was a good conference. I enjoyed there. We knew about it from a year ago when we went to the first one, so I was excited to come to hear this. And the big take that I got out of it is on the pick two menu at Carduño's. You get a stuffed sopapilla and a chili de año all together. Man, that was really good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What really came to me was, yes, because being raised a Catholic, I knew a lot of the religion, being taught from generations, and knew what I was supposed to do, what I wasn't supposed to do, but just like how Paul said in Romans, I try to do what I'm not going to do, but I do it anyway. That's the way I was growing up, and still practice that today. So I'm going to read you a scripture, and I did bring my Catholic Bible, so references here in Isaiah 64. In the Catholic Bible, it's in verse 5, but in the New King James Version, it's verse 6. But it pretty much is the same thing. All of us have become like unclean men. All our good deeds are like polluted rags. And there, when it started out with Chris, what was it? Costaldo. He did a character of Michelangelo and was in full character of him and gave the history of the Last Judgment that he painted on the Sistine Wall. And that really did a turn in his life from how he was brought up. And one point that Chris mentioned in there was that how he would put his self-portrait in all those paintings that he's done. He really wanted to do sculptures, in which he has done lots of sculptures and enjoyed that. But here, the Pope wanted him to paint. And now he said it, when the Pope tells you to do something, you do it. So, I don't know, Samuel, if you could pull that up. Here was a picture that when we were shown. So you can look right here, this filthy rag that's hanging down from the man's left hand. That's Michelangelo's self-portrait. And that's me. That's me right there, just a filthy rag. It was really hard to understand all this time what Jesus was trying to speak to my heart. And this is what he said. You have been forgiven of all your sins. I live in your heart, and it is by your spirit and by your willingness that he works in me and through me. And I receive that. All my sins have been washed away. I've been made white as snow. And that is only by his word that we can understand that. It is by scripture alone. That is the solid foundation of all of our faith and belief while we're here on earth. And we need to take that to heart and share that with our neighbors. Because Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Go out and make disciples. And each of you are disciples. And that is what really spoke out strong to me in getting the word of God deeper into my heart and not as a filthy rag anymore. Amen. You're up, Richard. Well, you don't have a Catholic Bible, so you will be good.
First of all, I'm not a speaker, so please bear with me. And let's pray. Father, Padre, Dios, te damos las gracias este día. Escuchamos la palabra de usted cada día de la vida de nosotros, Padre. Y que usted murió en la cruz para los pecados de nosotros. Gracias cada día, Padre, que estamos vivos aquí en este mundo. Y le damos las gracias para esta iglesia y toda la gente adentro. Que Dios los cuide. Y le amamos mucho. En el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén. Amén. My talk is growing up Catholic. This Clarice event was very educational for me. Even though I knew I grew up Catholic, I learned a lot I never learned back then at St. Pascal's Church. I cannot recollect ever reading the Bible in my younger years. The priest was the only one who read from the pulpit. We were taught the catechism that had isolated verses from the Bible and what we were supposed to believe about the Catholic Church. We had to memorize it so we could have our first communion. One of the requirements was that we had to go to confession regularly, like every week. This included going to the Father and asking, and then we would wait to be called in. The confession group, a lot of people don't know that it's in the church. He would ask how long it has been since my last confession. Then I then asked, what am I confessing? I was such a saint, I didn't have any sins. Then after I told him, I would ask for forgiveness. And he told me to do something like say 20 Hail Marys, and that was it. As a family, we never discussed God or religion. It didn't really affect our faith today lives. It wasn't until I was in my teens I went to other churches like Foursquare, Baptist, and the Lutheran. But I had to do it without my parents. Knowledge or permission. That's when I realized that the pastor would say a scripture and the people would open their own Bibles to read alone. So my knowledge of the Bible was very limited then. I knew that Jesus was God's son. And that was about it. I knew who the Pope was, but I didn't know the connection between him and Jesus. The Catholic Church taught us that he was infallible, that we should look up to him for guidance, and we should pray for him and respect him like a God. The Clarice Conference made me realize that all these years, what I was told were lies. And the Pope was mediating between himself and God for all the Catholic people. The Pope was to have been appointed directly by God, divine institution. And learning of the Council of Trent was a pivotal 19th ecumenical, which means the council, which means all Catholics, of the Roman Catholic Church held in three parts between 1545 and 1563 in response to the Protestant Reformation. It served as a key part of the Counter-Reformation aimed at reforming internal churches' abuse, reaffirming Catholic doctrine and condemning Protestant belief. The Council clarified teaching on salvation, emphasizing both of faith and works, the sacraments, and the importance of the priesthood. I finally got my first Bible when I was 25 from my brother Ralph. I read it from cover to cover, didn't understand it then. I still have that Bible, and slowly came to learn it more. As a believer, it is very nourishing to learn God's Word in a safe environment where Scripture is our authority, and also what other denominations believe about God's teaching. And this is what I believe. we can receive God's grace.
A wonderful event. I encourage you all to attend with us next fall. Don't know what the theme is yet, but it'll be good. So this conference was a banquet for my mind. I kind of geeked out on the history, I'll admit that. But it also spoke to my heart so deeply how we treasure. So I'm speaking about the topic of how the Catholic Church got off track from first century Christian church doctrine. This is based on Dr. Leonardo DiCirico's presentation called Why Protestants Don't Accept the Papacy, and my own responses. DiCirico was an evangelical pastor in Rome. Right in the middle of the battle. Of course, there are other doctrines of the Catholic Church which Protestants disagree, such as buying grace with the purchase of indulgences, raising Mary to a status of semi-divine due to an immaculate conception and praying to her, along with other issues, but I'm going to focus on them. Just as someone begins a journey with a specific destination, but sets their compass off by one degree after time, they become way off course and end up somewhere else entirely. This describes, I think, how the Catholic Church became so off base, off scripture, in regard to basic doctrine. We all agree that the church must be grounded in scripture and that we interpret scripture with other scripture. So, about 150 years after Jesus, there were some influential writings by one Irenaeus, and it was widely read, and largely evangelical and scriptural, but there were the seeds of error in regarding the establishing of an earthly office of power. And then, 200 or 300 years after Jesus, things got really wonky. Even though the Emperor Constantine of the Roman Empire legalized Christianity, the empire was starting to fall apart, just as the church was growing. Roman church leaders saw an opportunity in their own minds to organize it, to structure it, to become stable, large, and growing, an entity on its own. They, being based in Rome, looked to the political organization of power that they were familiar with, the Roman Empire, who had at its top position of power an emperor. It was a top-down structure, we would say today. So the Catholic leaders sought to have the same profile, a triangle of power, with the leader, an emperor, at the top. So in reading Matthew 16, they land on a passage in which Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answers, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." What a statement of power, right? But Jesus was stating that what Peter said, his witness of Jesus being the Christ, Messiah, who was to be the central tenet of the church, the Catholic Church member leadership interprets it to their purposes by saying the man Peter was the founder of the church in Rome and the first pope. This is not scriptural. We know that the church in Rome was founded before Peter or Paul ever got there, and no one man was meant to take the position as Christ's representative on earth. But this construct fits so neatly into their political and organizational desires, their pride too, a single office of teaching and direction, supreme authority, just like the Roman Empire. So that's what they did. Instead of verifying and trusting biblical authority, this new office would assume that role, the Bishop of Rome, a pontiff, pont being the Latin word for bridge, a pontiff who would bridge the gap between heaven and earth with a direct line of authority. This happened over hundreds of years, incrementally, like building a building, layer on layer, one brick at a time. So that by 1870, they proclaimed that when the Pope speaks for the church, he is speaking infallibly, as if God himself is speaking. This statement is evidenced by the Catholic Catechism, which states, quote, "The Pope is the vicar of Christ, acting as if he were Christ on earth. And he has full, supreme, and universal power over all the church on earth by divine institution." Unquote. Again, this is obviously not scriptural. They stopped interpreting scripture with scripture and not looking to Christ as the head of the church and the Holy Spirit to teach and guide us, and the apostles having leadership among each other. Christ is the cornerstone. We believers are small living stones, as it says in 1 Peter, the body of Christ, a priesthood of believers. But that didn't suit the political ambitions of Catholic leadership. The Catholic Church had, and still has, a larger agenda, a big ambition, to be the world spokesman for all churches, indeed all religions. This is what's happening now, with the Pope at the center. Brick by brick, it's building this position by always changing, morphing, and appealing to accommodate current culture. But the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Not the authority of Scripture. Church members were to work for and purchase their salvation, which was never secured or assured. They were dependent on the devices of men. Thank God we have this sure certainty that by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we're saved to eternal life, and there's no other name by which we must be saved. In light of all of this, we as Protestants need to acknowledge and admit that we're not blameless, and we have committed many vile acts against humanity and God. But this was the gentle message of this weekend, that we're to engage with our Catholic friends and family members with humility and respect, but with confidence and full reliance on Scripture. Yeah. And I brought a couple of books I bought, like this, so if you want to see them later, I'll show you.
Speakers, just a highlight that's been coming to me this week during the time we celebrate the Reformation. It comes out of Ephesians 3, and it's on our prayer card that we have. There are different prayers from the Bible, and this Matthew prayer, the Lord, Ephesians 1 prayer, and then the Ephesians 3 prayer says, verse 16 of Ephesians 3, this is what we can pray for one another, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Isn't that powerful? Praying that for one another and for others. It's hard in some days to relate to that scripture, that Christ could dwell in your heart through faith and make his place and his abode within you by just sheer grace. Isn't that powerful? And that's the offer of the good news of the gospel today, that you can know these things I've written to you, that believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5 says, so we can know of our salvation. It's not by works, and if we work enough, it's just his grace that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Just soak in that word today as we celebrate the Reformation, that you can have a personal transformation in your life, a divine indwelling of God, that Christ can dwell in your hearts through faith, and that that makes up the body of Christ. Amen. And so we're going to offer the communion table to you to celebrate.